This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Jackie Leiden.
We want that democracy in Lebanon to succeed, and we know it cannot succeed so long as she is occupied by a foreign power, and that power is Syria. There's no half measures involved. When the United States and France and others say withdrawal, we mean complete withdrawal, no half-hearted measures.
President Bush speaking Friday at a town hall meeting in Westfield, New Jersey. The United States, Saudi Arabia, and other nations are calling on Syria to pull its troops out of Lebanon. Senior news analyst Daniel Shore is here with us. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Jackie. Welcome aboard.
Well, thank you so much. It's nice to be here. It's been a chaotic week in Lebanon. Fascinating, we could also say. The nation's pro-Damascus government resigned against the backdrop of massive anti-government protests in Beirut, and political unrest appears to be growing. Would even a partial Syrian rollback from Lebanon, what would that mean for the region?
Well, I think this is all another manifestation of what we have first seen perhaps in Ukraine, a people expressing a long-suppressed demand for freedom, be it from foreign occupiers or, in some cases, homegrown tyrants. In Lebanon, it's taken 29 years of occupation and the assassination of a popular former prime minister, Hariri, for the Lebanese finally to pour out into the streets in huge numbers and say, Syrians, go home.
Hmm. It does rather remind one of the street protests in the Ukraine. Now, Syrian President Bashar Assad has made a special session of Syria's parliament, convened it to talk about the situation. What political wriggle room does he have at this point?
Oh, I think little or none. The Arab states used to, like Saudi Arabia, used to support Syria because they thought it was a way of achieving stability in that area. They've now turned against him. When President Bush says complete withdrawal, not half-hearted measure, that doesn't seem to leave much wiggle room. You know, there is the so-called Taif Agreement. That was when they first went into Lebanon. It was the agreement under which the Syrians would stay and until and such time the Syrian government and the Lebanese government agreed that they should go. Well, since the Lebanese government was under complete Syrian control, that was not likely to happen. So now the relevant document is UN Resolution 1599, which calls for immediate withdrawal. And I suspect that if we don't get immediate withdrawal or something close to immediate, that there's going to be some trouble in store. I don't believe in invasion or anything like that, but some tough sanctions against Syria.
In Iraq, Dan, a judge assigned to the special tribunal that will try Saddam Hussein was killed along with his son, who was a lawyer working with the tribunal. They were gunned down outside of their home.
Mm-hmm.
Do these murders feed doubt that the tribunals can take place within Iraq?
You know, I'm tempted to say, does the murder of the husband and the mother of a federal judge in Chicago, with suspicion falling on white supremacists, does that mean that justice can't be done in Illinois? But that's a cheap one. In the face of what seems to be a well-organized insurgency, trying Saddam Hussein's lieutenants and then Saddam himself isn't going to be easy. But no one ever promised Iraq a rose garden.
Giuliana Segrena, an Italian journalist who'd been held hostage in Iraq since the beginning of February, was released by her captors only to be wounded hours later when American troops opened fire on her convoy, killing an Italian Secret Service agent. Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi says someone is going to have to resolve this, take responsibility. Does it spell trouble for Italy's alliance with the U.S.?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think in any general sense. It seems clear that the GIs who were manning that checkpoint gave all the usual warnings to slow down, shots over there, and something went wrong there. The problem now is not Berlusconi. The problem now is public opinion in Italy. This is, for Italians, a very emotional affair. Undoubtedly, there will be demands made from the public to withdraw the 3,000 Italian troops working with the coalition. But Premier Berlusconi surely knows that this was one of the tragedies of war, and not something you can blame people for.
Dan, the president set off around the country this week to promote his ideas about Social Security, but opinion polls show that support for the president's plans are waning, and fewer Americans say they support it. Congress appears divided on whether the plan will ever get out of committee. Even Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist said that, well, he flip-flopped on his prediction this week. How realistic is it to think that an overhaul of Social Security could happen during this session?
Well, only if President Bush can change the unfavorable numbers that are running against him on this thing. It seems now he's going to be cashing in a huge piece of these what he called political capital that he won in November. He's planning 60 stops in 60 days around the country. He has to convince Americans of two things, that Social Security is in bad trouble, not crisis, but in bad trouble. Not everybody believes that. Then, secondly, that he has a plan to fix it. And we haven't seen any detailed plan. We keep seeing outlines and general statements. And so I would not be the one to say that he can't do it. I mean, if he was willing to devote this much of himself, I mean, that's what happened with the tax cuts and other things. A president has an enormous amount of political capital. The question is, will it work for him this time?
Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan has also weighed in on the Social Security issue and said that he favors the president's plan to create private personal accounts for workers under the age of 55, but advocates going slow. How would private accounts affect the solvency of the Social Security?
Listen, no private, please. private, it suggests privatization, and we've now changed that to personal, okay? That's all right. It's really a question of having to know how the system would work. The Secretary of the Treasury, John Snow, has sent up a little trial balloon suggesting the possibility that these accounts would come from general revenue and not from payroll taxes. They've determined that the people don't want to see higher payroll taxes. Snow says everything is on the table. Well, when everything is on the table, in a sense, nothing is on the table. And so it's very difficult to predict what's going to happen. As of now, he doesn't have anywhere near the support in Congress to pass any such measure.
The Supreme Court narrowly ruled this week that executing juvenile offenders is unconstitutional. What does that decision say about this court?
Well, what it says about the court is that it's acting in its own tradition. I think that they have finally caught up. You know, only the United States and Somalia executed juveniles. And now it's going to be when America is catching up with the whole rest of the world. My only surprise about that decision was that Justice O'Connor found herself among the dissidents. I would have thought otherwise.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being with us, Dan.
Oh, my pleasure.
Senior news analyst Daniel Shore.